Good afternoon. Just filling in a little more now. Today I want to take all of you Alices on a step through the looking glass, which is another way of saying that for a few minutes I'm going to lead you in a direction completely opposite to where I really want to take you. First up, a curious scripture. In Proverbs 16 and verse 9, it says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." This and other scriptures of this sort provoke a question. To what degree does God guide our lives, and what does that say about freedom and individuality? In fact, how do you harmonize the two? How can our lives be directed and yet rely on our choices as well? Like it or not, scriptures of this sort speak to the usually misunderstood subject of predestination. And while I have certain opinions on the subject, just like you do, I want to use a few scriptures to explore aspects of God's guidance and control over our lives. Rest assured, I'm not really going to debate whether predestination is either this or that. The scriptures are simply too inconclusive about specifics on that subject, and I'm not going to champion one view over another. However, I am going to play with some ideas about the subject that the scriptures do touch on, while always remembering what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, that we know only in part. If the idea of having your life predetermined bothers you, then please consider Jesus himself. He was born for a purpose. Every part of his life was predetermined right to its end, and he knew it. And it didn't bother him in the least. Consider the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Both contain detailed genealogies of Christ's lineage, an entirely guided chain of ancestors. Do you think God left any of that to random chance? I don't know about you, but to me, the God who is our Father clearly doesn't appear to be an accidental God, someone who puts something in motion and then says, "Oops, I didn't see that coming. Time for plan B." One reason we often balk at the idea that our lives might be planned, that what comes to us in life is designed for a purpose, is also why people often misunderstand prophecy and God's hand in history. We are finite, limited, and linear beings, unlike God. We deal in beginnings and endings, whereas God, through Jesus, said he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. He sees it all, the entire panorama, in a way that we as humans simply cannot comprehend. He exists outside time and space. He's not bound by what we call past, present, or future, which is something too vast for our limited minds to understand. So he can say, for him, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. We quote that, but we don't understand it. We can't even grasp the universe surrounding us. I wish I could have projected it here. I came across a photo in a new National Geographic book on the universe taken by the Hubble telescope. And it shows what first appears to be an elongated projection of the near universe, of the night sky, filled with countless stars. And then you read the caption, which says something that, at least for me, is beyond comprehension. This photo isn't a star field at all. It's a field of galaxies. The quote says, "A portrait of the nearby universe. This infrared projection of 1.5 million galaxies reveals intriguing large-scale structures within 1.3 billion light years. The image shows how galaxies, under the force of gravity, cluster into filaments and bridges across vast expanses of space and time." That's 1.5 million galaxies, each containing billions of stars. The figures become almost meaningless, and yet it all works. This is the power, the might, the design, the capability of our Father God. The one written about by David when he wrote in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God." What God has planned, He has planned out beyond anything our finite minds can comprehend. So it doesn't bend my mind, at least too much, to imagine that this Almighty God could easily plan every human life that's ever existed. He may very well have planned every personality, designed each of us for specific roles within His family, roles that will fulfill us beyond measure, and He's preparing us for exactly those roles. And many scriptures intimate just that. Yet there are only four scriptures using the word predestinate. In Romans 8, verse 29, it says, "For those God foreknew," which is a concept all by itself, "for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son." In verse 30, "Those He predestined, He also called." In Ephesians 1, verse 5, "In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ." In verse 11, "In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will." In all these cases mentioned, the words mean in the Greek to predetermine, to ordain, or to plan in advance. The implications are enormous. But without clear and firm explanations within the scriptures, or at least a better understanding on our part, the deeper meaning of predestination remains elusive. However, the subject and the context of these scriptures is not elusive, because this isn't about predestination. This isn't about this or that technicality, and that's not what this sermonette's about. It is about the absolute care and concern God has for all our lives and how thoroughly He's worked out this plan, how meticulously He's planned it, and how intimately involved He is with each of our lives. If we can acknowledge the wonders of the universe that surrounds us and our Father's absolute control over it and its processes, then we should be able to relish the fact, taught throughout the Bible, that His care of our lives is just as sure and just as planned and ordered for our benefit. We won't know the vast nature of it until the next life. In the meantime, we all do know that God has influenced and directed our lives, both in ways we recognize and perhaps more importantly, in ways we'll never know in this lifetime. Throughout our lives, we've been given open doors and closed doors to direct and build our lives as God has seen fit. And sometimes, despite all our efforts, those divine purposes have taken us down paths we never suspected or never thought we wanted. He has purposes for our lives, for yours and mine. He knows what He's building in us and what He has to work out of us. He's involved in each of our lives on levels that are indescribable. And He's told us in Philippians 1 and elsewhere that what He's begun, He will finish. And nothing can frustrate His desired outcome. He is the potter, and we are the clay, however much that may frustrate the independent spirit in our modern minds. In fact, it should both encourage us and give us peace. Because by understanding this aspect of our relationship with our Father and His perfect planning and care for our lives, we can realize that everything, everything, will come to the right conclusion. Jesus made a point out of that reality in every way that He could. In Matthew 6, verse 8, He said, "Your Father knows what you need even before you ask." That means either that he can see the outcome in ways we can't, or it means he knows you that well, and he's more than ready to provide every need. Either way, it speaks to his loving concern and care for your life. No wonder in the same chapter, in verse 25, Jesus could then say, "Take no anxious concern for your life. Don't worry. Trust in your Father's love for you." Your Father knows everything about you, everything you need, and stands ready to help at all times, especially when we feel most alone, because we never are. He's always been there, and he always will be. However much our lives are reliant purely on his direction, and how much is reliant on our choices remains to be seen. In a way, it's a moot point. It is what it is. But what can't be denied is that he guides us toward exactly the right goals and purposes, even when we can't understand the process. And getting used to that fact should be the most comforting and reassuring thing in our lives. It should introduce us to the peace that Jesus said would be ours. Some years ago, a bit of prose was widely circulated, and it states perfectly what most of us have experienced or will experience as our lives unfold. Most of you have heard this at one time or another, so I'm going to wrap it up with this statement, written by Anonymous, who's written quite a lot. The piece was entitled, "I Asked God," and I'll let it speak for itself. "I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed."